Bible says, Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Suppose you knew that today was going to be your final day living. The people you talk to today will no longer be remembered tomorrow. This morning's sunrise and tonight's sunset is the last that you will see. The sermons preached will be the last you ever hear. If we could know this were true, and tomorrow our family started planning our funeral, how would it affect us today? What would you spend your final hours doing? What changes would you need or want to make? What future anticipations would be missed? And what past decisions would be regretted? After hearing such things, our natural tendency is to comfort and convince ourselves that we are not so close to death's doorstep as the preacher would have us to imagine. And we think this is not so. We think that we have tomorrow and next week and next month and next year because already we have gone days, weeks, months, and years without experiencing death. So we think our statistical chance is great to survive tomorrow. What about those who have died? What about our church members in past years who were here one week and gone the next? They were going about their day as normal and with the Lord in a moment. What about those that we have heard about in the news? Those going about their day who wake up in eternity. The news headlines last night speak of a cyclist dead in a collision. Two sleeping teenagers shot and killed in their sleep. A couple found dead inside their home after a house fire, a highway crash leaving one woman dead, and a 26-year-old football player who died from a heart attack in training day. What guarantee do we have that today is not our last day? Are we certain that we will survive our commute home from church? Do we have complete confidence that our heart will not give out before tomorrow morning? What if this day should be the day that the Lord returns? Jesus said that He would come at a moment when we think not. Jesus said that He would come unexpectedly as a thief that comes in a night. How do we know that we will make it past today? The truth is, we do not know. The words of Proverbs 27, verse 1, press our hearts to remember that one day, our final day, will come. The truths here in this verse press us to remember that one of these days we will presume that we will have tomorrow, and tomorrow will not come. The reality that tomorrow is an unpromised day ought to persuade us to do two chief things. Number one, it ought to persuade us to find peace with God now. And second, it ought to persuade us to live for God now. Let's consider the first. The reality that tomorrow may not come ought to persuade us to find peace with God now. The Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. The reality is that man naturally is at enmity with God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And because of our sin, we are separated from a holy and just God. Because of our sin, we are at war with the God who made us. But the Bible says that we can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says our soul can be saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure Christ Jesus, the righteous, died for the unrighteous. So the Bible gives an urgency to those who are apart from God on their way to hell. With death coming at any minute, the Bible says that we can know salvation because salvation is offered unto us now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Isaiah urges Israel, come now and let us reason. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And we remember in the book of Acts, a man who put off salvation. And this illustration, this man who put off salvation is a warning to us so that we might seek the Lord and find him now. His name was Felix. He was a Roman governor, and the apostle Paul comes to this man preaching the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. He preaches and warns of justice and righteousness. And Felix trembles. He's convicted in his heart. He understands the truth that the apostle Paul is saying. He is convicted, but he does not become converted. And Felix pushes off Paul and pushes off Paul's message. And he says, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. God in his providence allowed Paul to come to Felix. God in his goodness allowed Felix an opportunity to turn from his wicked way and to find peace with God through Jesus Christ. And Felix says, you know what? Not now. When I think it is best for me, then I will get right with God. But nowhere in the scriptures do we read Felix ever turning to the Lord and becoming a born-again Christian. He put off Christ presuming that he would have another opportunity. And from the testimony that we know now in the scripture, he is suffering in hell today. We do that often. Presume. We put off the message of salvation. We put off Christ and the hope that is found in him. We ought not to. The influences of sin are strong. There have been many who've been in church services and have heard the clear presentation of the gospel. And then they have given themselves over to sin and the influences of sin. Those who give themselves over to drugs, and over time, the drugs affecting their mind and their heart and their entire body. And they had opportunity to repent and find the Lord, and they put it off saying, not now, not now, maybe tomorrow, maybe later in life. And now their heart is as hard as a rock. If you do not take this sermon to heart, and you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and you spend eternity in hell, the fault will be yours. You have been warned. You've been encouraged to look to Christ so that your sins might be forgiven. Your soul has pleaded over. Your blood will not be on my hands. Millions of people on the East Coast recently prepared for a hurricane. Much time, money, energy was spent in saving their possessions, nailing up the windows, locking the doors tight so no one can come in when they escape. And they took it seriously. The alarm and the news was blaring. The President of the United States, do not take this to be a joke. You need to prepare and prepare now and prepare for the worst. and people fled their homes and they sought after safety. But I ask this question: how many in our world prepare for the hurricane of God's justice, for God's judgment, for God's wrath? How many are as diligent to prepare their soul for the time of death? And the fact that churches like ours have open seats this morning teach us that the world is more concerned about saving their possessions that will perish rather than seeking safety for their souls that will never die. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I can tell you, I was brought face to face with this reality in high school. I've shared this story before. A good friend of mine in drafting class, a good friend of mine on the high school basketball team, was going to school one morning on the icy roads of Minnesota. He thought this day was going to be like any other day. He's going to go to school, he's going to go to basketball practice, he's going to do his homework and repeat the next day. That morning, his car hit a piece of black ice. He spun several times, head-on collision, gone forever. As a 16-year-old, going to this young man's funeral, open casket, and seeing his cold, lifeless body. He was here last week, and now he's gone. And did something in my soul. I asked myself, how come he is gone? And why am I here? And when is my time coming? You know, young people, we think we are invincible, don't we? We think, oh sure, we're going to graduate high school. We're going to get married. We're going to go to college. We're going to have a career. We're going to have grandkids. We're going to do all these things. But the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This is a reason why the prophets and the apostles preach so passionately and so boldly. When we look at the scriptures and we read of Jeremiah lifting up his voice, and we read of him being rather strong in his presentation of the gospel, and we see the boldness of Peter and John, and they are as like lions roaring out the truth. And we wonder why they understood that we don't have the promise of tomorrow. And there are souls that are perishing by the hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands who will never have an opportunity to repent. And so you may ask, why is the preacher so passionate from the pulpit? Why does he lift up his voice and why does he use strong arguments? Because souls are perishing, and souls are perishing who are in our midst. The reality that tomorrow may not come ought to persuade us to find peace with God now. Let me ask you a question that was asked of me when I was 16. It was this question that awakened me to seek the Lord. And it is a question I had heard 1,000 times before. And the question is this: are you 100% sure that if you died today, all would be well with your soul? 100%. I had heard that question 100 times before. And I always thought, well, sure, yeah, I am. I'm fine. But that night, as a 16-year-old, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit came over me like never before, and I knew I was in trouble. I knew my sin. I knew my hypocrisy. I knew that I was only professing with my mouth the Lord Jesus, but my heart was far from Him. Is that you this morning? Does your life truly give evidence that you are born again, that you love the Lord, that you delight in keeping His commandments? Do you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you resting in your baptism? Are you resting in your church affiliation or your church membership? There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. That's you this morning. The Lord is inviting you to come. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And you're foolishly presuming you'll have tomorrow. Well, maybe when I get married, then I'll start to seek the Lord. Oh, maybe when things get better in my life, then I'll be a true Christian. You do not have that promise. So seek the Lord and find him today. And then our second point. The reality that tomorrow may not come ought to persuade us to live for God now. While the truth of Proverbs 27:1 calls on all to prepare for death immediately, it also calls on all who know the Lord to serve him with all their might while they have opportunity. The truth is, we do not know if we will have the physical capabilities tomorrow to serve the Lord in various ways that we have today. We do not have the assurance that we will have the resources we have today to serve the Lord in various ways. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If we knew that health would fail us significantly tomorrow, what would we seek to accomplish for the Lord today? If we knew we would be crippled tomorrow, what would we seek to do today? This question and other similar questions must be considered because we do not know what a day may bring forth. And with this truth ringing in our heart, let me specifically challenge us to consider three areas of life we need to constantly examine so that we might live every day to the honor and glory of God. Number one, we need to constantly examine our sins. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And you ask, how does examining our sins have to do with our presumptions about tomorrow? Well, often we think we can give way to sin today because we foolishly think that we will have an opportunity to forsake sin tomorrow. Isn't that a lie from the devil? Go ahead and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You can get away with it. And we think today we can give way to the world. Today we can disobey the commandments of the Lord because tomorrow we can confess it to God and get right. Paul smashes this mindset. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We are dead to sin. We ought to be alive in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are sins of commission and sins of omission. The sins of commission are doing things that we should not do. And we must get right with God today. We must seek to live a holy and righteous life before the eyes of the Lord at this moment. That means breaking off the relationship that is unbiblical and poisoning in our life. That means breaking off friendships with those who love to gossip and pull us down spiritually. That means stop spending money on sinful entertainments so that we might live a life that is pleasing to Him. This also means that we need to do what God has called us to do. Whether it means following the Lord and believers' baptism, telling others about Christ, giving financially to the work of the Lord, or rolling up our sleeves and serving others. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We may stand before the face of Jesus Christ tomorrow, and do we want to stand before him swimming in sin? Do we truly want to give an account to the Lord tomorrow while we willfully disobey the commandments of God today? We must think through these things. And then we need to constantly examine not only our sins, but our services. What do I mean? Our sacrifice. And this starts first and foremost in the home. Our responsibilities. Husbands, you have a responsibility. Love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. Wife, you have a responsibility, a ministry in your home. And your responsibility is to follow your husband. Parents, you have a responsibility to nurture your children in the admonition of the Lord, to train them in the way that they should go. And knowing that we don't have the promise of tomorrow ought to cause us to be faithful in our responsibilities today. How are we doing? Children, are you obeying your parents? Doing best you can in school? This is honoring to the Lord. You have good attitudes or bad attitudes? Then what about our service in the workplace? Our job, our career? And we're so foolish to think that the place of our employment is only the place where we make money. But God sees otherwise. The Bible says the place that we work is not a place merely to make money. As believers, our place of employment is a place where we can let our light so shine. We work for one master. He is the eternal master. He is the boss. And working on a horizontal level in the physical realm is only secondary to working for the Lord in the spiritual realm. Do we see our jobs, our place of employments, as our mission field? Do we see others around us working as having souls that will never die? And we examine these things. How are we doing today? Are we making an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ? And then what about our service in the church? And Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh that no man can work. In other words, Jesus says we must be diligent and put our hands to the plow now, because there's a time coming when we cannot. And what are we doing here in the local church? How are you a part of this place and reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ and encouraging Christians in the faith? And so we examine our sins, we examine our service, and then we examine our spirit. God is not only concerned that we do right, He is concerned that we do right with a proper attitude. Again, I pull illustration out of the theology of Winnie the Pooh. Tell me about Tigger. Is he lively, children? Very lively. Is he happy? Very happy. All right, children, tell me about Eeyore. Oh, me. I'm just going to sit around, hope something good happens. All I did was said their name, and you knew about their character. If today was our last day of life and our funeral was set for next week, what would others say regarding our temperament? Again, oh yes, it's important to be a part of the work of the Lord. It's important to be a good husband and wife. But what is our attitude? What is our spirit? Would others say that we were a crab? We were a grump. We were sour and bitter. And we were a Debbie Downer. Or would they say that we serve the Lord with a spirit of joy and thankfulness? And they would say, I want to have an attitude like that. And despite all their pains and all their heartaches and all the troubles of life, they always saw a ray of hope because their eyes were on the Lord. This matters before the eyes of God. You'll remember the testimony of Paul and Silas at midnight singing and worshiping, praising God in the Philippian jail. The circumstances are sour, but their hearts are rejoicing. Or Joseph, when rejected by his brothers and falsely accused by the world, he is cultivating a strong faith in the Lord and hopeful that God will work this for good in the future. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And when we think about this, we get a reality check and say, whoa, yeah, there's some tuning that needs to happen in my heart and life. If the Lord came back today, how would he find us? Right now, in this moment, if he were to return right now, would he find us forsaking sin and pursuing holiness? Would he find us putting our hand to the plow and laboring diligently for the Lord? Would he find us serving God and honoring him with a joyful spirit? Listen, being a Christian and serving the Lord is a privilege. Do we see it as such? Or are we heartlessly going through the religious motions? Suppose you knew that today was going to be your final day living. Looking back at your life, what regrets would you have? Well, we have time to fix things now. On our deathbed, it'll be too late. But putting this into perspective, we have opportunity now to cry out to the Lord, to examine our hearts and lives, and to adjust things so that we might live for eternity. We need to live every day as if tomorrow will not come. That's the truth of the passage. What will you do with it? Let's pray. Well, Father, we come before you humbly. We come before you weak and frail. We come confessing our sin, that often we only live for today. Lord, we pray with the great preacher of old, Jonathan Edwards. Lord, stamp eternity on our eyeballs. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Help us to live this day to our fullest potential in a God-honoring way, loving and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray your Holy Spirit would bring faith, would bring life to those who are lost and without hope in this world. May this truth ring loudly in our ears, and may it cause us to be unsettled until we truly find the Lord. In our foolishness, we think we have time. But one day we will be caught off guard and it will be too late. We pray for souls to be saved here in this place, this moment. We pray for Christians to keep this truth at the forefront of their mind so that we would live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.